So wonderful as Christians to have a hope that goes beyond this earthly life, and we exercise that hope in Jesus Christ. Praise God. We are here today to honor our beloved mothers, and from the Word of God, I want to take a few thoughts that I trust shall be a blessing to you. I'm reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, if you would like to read along with me. Proverbs, chapter 31. I believe it was one of the previous Mother's Day services that I expounded these verses, but today we're going back to it again, but of course the message is different and the angle of the presentation is different as well. Beginning at verse 10 of chapter 31 of Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girded her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and she delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. May God's blessings rest upon the reading and the ministry of His Word. There are great portrait galleries in this world. The gallery in Dresden, Germany. The Rex Gallery in Amsterdam, Holland. The Pitti Gallery in Florence, Italy. The Louvre in Paris, France. The National Gallery in London, England. All masterpieces are and great works of art. Mrs. Brown and I have had the privilege of beholding two of the three greatest paintings in the world. The only one we've not seen is the Dawn Patrol, which is in Amsterdam. We have seen the Barrel of Count Orgaz and also the Mona Lisa. But the greatest portrait gallery of all, ladies and gentlemen, you will find in the Word of God. God gives us portraits of mothers in the Bible, good and bad. And can you imagine a composite portrait of the mothers and the women in the Bible? Can you imagine a portrait that takes the ambitiousness of a Rebecca, the fascination of a Delilah, the courage of an Esther, the beauty of an Esther, the courage of a Ruth, the industry and efficiency of a Martha, the meditation of a Mary, the loyalty of the mother of our Lord? Can you imagine a composite portrait such as that? Well, there is one, and I've already read it to you. I've read to you the words that King Lemuel gives in honor to his mother. At the beginning of the chapter, which I did not read, she gives him motherly advice. And then it is he comes forth with his great praise to her. And in the light of that, for just a while, I want to speak on the ideal mother. First of all, may I say, the ideal mother is a woman of industry. Lemuel says concerning his mother that she looketh well to the ways of her household. Now, only the grace of God can enable a mother to do that. I think God shall have a special reward in heaven for mothers who've looked well to the ways of their household. And my hat is off to you mothers who've already gone through that rigorous training, and to you who are presently suffering through it. That teenage boy has never had it dawn on him that the same knob that he uses to open a closet will also close that closet. It's never hit his brain that is the case. It has never dawned on him that the same toothpaste container, the same jar where he takes off the top, he can put back on the top. That's never entered into his mind. It has not dawned upon him that a doorknob is not to be used to hang his shirt, to hang his tie, to hang his coat, and pants 3 feet deep. That has never hit his mind. And for mothers, by the grace of God, to endure this, God will have a special trophy for you, I believe, when you get to heaven. She looketh well to the ways of her household. And I thank God for mothers who with industry do exactly that. And furthermore, in revealing her industriousness, Lemuel says that she eateth not of the bread of idleness. That's a divine irony in itself. Because if you're idle, you're not likely to have any kind of bread to eat. The Bible makes it clear. He that won't work, let him not eat. Paul said to those super spiritualites in the church at Thessalonica who were saying, oh, we don't have time to work. The Lord is coming. We've got to be ready for Jesus to come. He said, you tell them for me. No work, no eat. Just as plain as that. But the ideal mother does not eat of the bread of idleness. She is too concerned for others to take time to do things such as that. And so it is the case that she finds herself occupied in things that are very helpful and that are very meaningful to the lives of the members of her family. Furthermore, Lemuel said, and she riseth before the light of day. Thank God she's up and going before the light of the day. I can still remember the mornings when my mother would resurrect me. And believe me, I was really basking in the arms of Morpheus when she did that. But she would resurrect me, and the trumpet sound would blow, and I would come back to the land of the living. But I could pick up the aroma coming from the kitchen, and I would go in there and inhale the grits, and inhale the eggs, and inhale the ham or the bacon or whatever it was. She had risen a great deal before daylight in order to get our boy ready to leave happy for school. Now, that was just a little send-off, but at least that cranked my engine up. Now, when I'd get to school, that was a different thing. When I was a teenager, I had one monstrous appetite. There have been times without number. I have sat down at a pot of beans. I don't mean a bowl of beans. I mean a pot of beans. I've taken a loaf of bread, started at one end piece, and ate the whole loaf at one sitting, and still was hungry. I used to eat sometimes, I kid you not, 6 sandwiches and 2 entire plate lunches at school, high school, and never put on a pound. Oh, for the good old days. But at least she got my jumper cable started in the morning, and that came because she got up. She got up before the break of day. She was a woman of industry. And to our mothers here this morning who know what it is to have industriousness, and I believe that all of you to do, we rise and we call you blessed and we say thank God for the mother of industry. Number two, the ideal mother is not only a woman of industry, she is a woman of charity. The Bible said that she putteth out her hand to the needy. and she reacheth out for the poor. Genuine Christianity expressed in a mother will help the poor and the needy. I know that right now I'm talking to so many mothers who have done precisely that. And I want to say again that I believe it's a crime before God in heaven that the Church of Jesus Christ has so dismally failed in our role to this world to help the poor and the needy. It's not going to take away from the gospel of God's Son to help people in need. That's the very essence of the gospel. That's the very essence of Christianity. That after we're redeemed by the blood of Christ, we help others. Mahatma Gandhi put it accurately when he said, "It's hard to talk to a starving man about God. Put some food in his stomach, and then he's ready to listen to you talk about God." Listen to your pastor. God said to the children of Israel, when you plant a crop, and the harvest comes, you take the four borders of your crop, you measure in 17 yards, and you run north, south, east, and west from the borders of your crop, 17 yards, and don't you touch the food that's in that portion. That you must leave for the poor. Number two, God said, the portion that I do leave to you, you are to glean it but once. You are never to go over it the second time. Whatever is left after you've gone over the portion of the crop that I even permit you to glean, you must do it only once. Now, once that Israelite had gleaned his own crop, but had left 17 yards from the edge, running the length and the breadth of the crop, for the poor, and could not reap it under a divine prohibition. And once he had gone over his crop but once, then he took this called the tithes, and only then into the storehouse. Now am I saying that you're not to pay your tithes but feed the poor first? 1,000 times no. But what I am saying that I'm afraid too often you and I have glibly, with a thin layer of spirituality, act as if we have no regard, we have no obligation to the hurting and the poor and the needy. But I thank God for the times that in our benevolence fund we have been able to reach down, and as they've reached out and put into their hands at least something that helps them. And in many times, it has made all the difference because we have learned a little at least what charity is all about. The ideal mother is a woman of charity. She did not wait, said the king, till the poor came to her. She did not wait till the needy came, hat in hand. She reached out to them. She went to them. She recognized if God was so good to her, she owed an obligation to somebody else. And God, give us more mothers who are just absolutely baptized with the spirit of charity, who are willing to pass on to others what God for a while has passed on to them. A woman of charity. Number three. She is a woman of loyalty. The ideal mother is a loyal woman. The Bible said her husband, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And I want you to notice it said his heart trusted in her. There's no way you can have trust from the mind. If it's not in the heart, it's not trust. There's no way you can have faith in the mind. It's got to be in the heart, or it's not faith. So the husband doesn't have to convince himself he can trust his wife. It's just an artesian well. It flows spontaneously. He just automatically can trust her. And God delivered homes when the husband cannot trust his wife and when the wife cannot trust her husband. I can think of no greater hell on earth than to live in a home where you didn't trust your wife and your wife did not trust you. And I don't just mean in the mind, I mean in the heart. And the Bible said, when the husband trusts this ideal mother in the heart, The trust is justified because he safely trusts her. For she will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. He will sit in the gates. She will make people proud of him. She will be an asset, not a hindrance. And if he amounts to anything, she will be much of the reason why he has become exactly that. You know, it's so easy to neglect our mothers. It's so easy to neglect what they've done for us. It's so easy to neglect a wife as a mother. The famous Englishman Thomas Carlyle, when his wife of 40 years, Jane Welsh, had died, he buried her in Haddington Churchyard, and he wrote her epitaph. He said, she died the 21st of April, 1866, suddenly snatched from him, and the light of his life, as it were, was gone. He recognized that he had not given her the tribute in life that he suddenly tried to atone for in death. But a mother who can be trusted, a woman of loyalty, God help you, husband. God help you, son. God help you, daughter, to let that mother know now how much you appreciate her, and let her see that she's not just any person. She's not just any other woman. She is the most special woman in this world to you. And let your actions bespeak that. Let your words communicate that. Because God blessed you beyond compare if he gave you a mother who is a woman of loyalty. Robert Louis Stevenson said concerning his wife, she was trusty, dusty, vivid, true. With golden eyes of bramble brew. Steel, straight. Blade, straight. The great artificer made my mate. God help us to recognize what a beautiful and wonderful and blessed thing it is when we have a mother who knows what loyalty is all about. But not only is the ideal mother a woman of industry, not only is she a woman of charity, not only is she a woman of loyalty, she is also a woman of speech. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her tongue does not in any wise bring forth things that bring disharmony in the family. But in her tongue is the law of kindness. Hear your pastor this morning. The Bible teaches that no person has ever been able to tame the tongue. James said, I don't care how strong your horse is. I don't care what massive strength he may possess. I don't care how riled up he may be. I don't care how wild he may be. A little bit in his mouth will keep him under control. That's all you need. A simple little bit in his mouth. James said, I don't care how large your great ocean liner is, how many decks it may have, what it may weigh, the length of it, the width of it. He said, all it takes is a little governor, and that governor will keep it on course. But he said the tongue is the same way, just a little thing. But unlike the case of the horse that is controlled by a bit in his mouth, unlike the case of the large ocean liner that is controlled by a little governor, that little tongue cannot be tamed. In fact, he said the tongue is a whirl of iniquity. The word world there means orderly system. It's an orderly system which builds up in itself the destructiveness that goes through our entire being and our life. And to illustrate that, James says that the tongue sets on fire what? The course of nature. I used to read that. What in the world is James talking about? The tongue sets on fire the course of nature. What he's saying is this. The word course means wheel. The word nature means birth. So what he's saying is the tongue starts with the wheel of birth. When you and I are born, the wheel of life starts revolving. And the tongue, with the fire of hell itself, begins to be brought to bear upon this revolving wheel of life, those things in our lives. And he said that when the wheel of life begins revolving at our birth and continues unto our death, the tongue is in there, and the power of the tongue will bring destruction upon this life that we live, and all of the events and the things that occur in our life. This revolving wheel, the tongue, will activate it and energize it and make it whirl and bring nothing but destruction upon any family where God's law of kindness is not reigning. But Lemuel said, my mother has found the answer. The answer is the law of kindness. There is something greater than the power of the tongue. It's that higher law. That law of kindness. A number of years ago in the Midwest, there was a little paper boy who had the use of only one leg. And for several years as a cripple, he had sold his paper. One of the leading physicians, Dr. Dawson of the Midwest, would buy papers from this little lad. One day, as Dr. Dawson had approached the boy, there was a compassion that filled his heart. He said, son, he said, how would you like for me to operate on your leg so that you may have the use of it again? And the little boy said, doctor, I would like that, but I'm poor, sir. I cannot afford it. Dr. Dawson said, son, it won't cost you a cent. I will do it with no charge, whatever. He said, there is one condition. He said, I teach a class at the medical school, and I would like for them to observe the surgery which I perform on your crippled leg. And obviously the little boy agreed to that. And the day of the surgery came, and they began to give anesthesia to the little paper boy. And as they were giving him anesthesia, his little eyes looked up into the eyes of Dr. Dawson, and he said, God bless you, Dr. Dawson. You have been so good to me. And when the surgery was over, Dr. Dawson turned to his students. He said, in my practice, I have performed surgery for governors, for senators, and for the rich, and I have received tremendous fees for doing so. But he said the words of that little boy you heard a while ago, is the greatest fee I have ever received in all of my life. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Let's be kind to one another. Our mothers set the example in doing so. And finally, the ideal mother is a woman of character. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Godliness will win every time. I don't care what earthly favor is given to you. There's usually more to it than meets the eye. Deceitfulness is back of it. There's some hidden agenda. And also, beauty is not going to last. That will fade. And it will become as nothing. It's vain. It's empty. It will be as nothing. It's here today, but it'll be gone tomorrow. And no facelifting mama will change it when that day comes. But there's a beauty, hallelujah, that is inside, given to you by the Lord, mother, that this world knows nothing about. There is a beauty that only Jesus Christ can grant. And the world can't explain it. It can't put it in a laboratory test. It can't put it in some capsule. But he beautifies the meek with salvation. And there it is. And you are the person who by your character will be praised. So today, I as the pastor want to join King Lemuel. I want to rise and call blessed the mothers among us today who are women of industry. The mothers who are among us who are women of charity. The mothers who are among us who are women of loyalty. The mothers who are among us who are women of sound speech. And the mothers who are among us who are women of character. God bless you. God bless your family. And by the grace of God, may your tribe increase. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, this morning you've heard the testimony of this young man who by the grace of God had his life changed 4 years ago. And now his ability and talent, they are both dedicated totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard what God has done for him. And I may be talking to sons and daughters here who've had mothers who prayed many prayers for you, and yet you have not come to God. I may be talking to a mother or a father. Your children have prayed many prayers for you, yet you still have not come to God. But while the blessed Holy Spirit hovers over us today, it's time that all of you who have not done so come to God. How many of you by the uplifted hand, whether you are a son, a daughter, mother, or father, will say, Pastor, I'm here today, and I have not come to God. I have not learned the secret of Christian character, which you've talked about this morning. Or at least I have not had it manifested in my life. I want you to pray for me that God will help me and that He'll come in my life and change me. I want to be a man, a woman of God. I want to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. Would you slip up your hands? God bless you, sir. Thank you kindly. God bless you, dear mother. Thank you. Thank God. How many more? God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. Keep lifting those hands. If you're here without Jesus Christ, and you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to be included in that prayer. All is not right between God and myself. I'm not right with God. I don't know Christ as my Savior and Lord. Pray for me today. How many more? Just slip up your hands right now and say, pray for me. I need Christ as my Savior. God bless you, dear lady. I see your hand. Thank you kindly. Keep praying, child of God. God is moving by His Spirit this morning. There are people that are weighed in God's balances. They're found wanting, but they know they're found wanting, and they want God to do something about it. How many more? Lift your hands. Say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Pray for me. Are there others right now as we wait before our God? Just slip up your hands right up, right back down and say, remember me. I want prayer. I need God today. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone to please stand. Would you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed as you stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, I thank Thee this morning for touching these hearts. I bless Thee that the mighty Holy Spirit has done His office work, and friends have responded, recognizing their need of Thee. I pray, O God, Thou will help these dear people. May they not be lost. May they not go to hell. But before it's too late, may they make heaven their home. I pray even today, Thou shalt help them to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray they shall not leave without God's peace in their life. I pray that that relationship with God shall be fixed this morning as the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from all sin. Now move upon their hearts and give us souls, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While every head remains bowed, every eye closed, and while they sing softly, I want you friends who lifted your hands to take another step. Would you just move out from where you're standing and come to this old-fashioned altar prayer? I want to meet you here. I want to have a word of prayer with you and to help lead you to Jesus Christ. Just move out right now. You're so close to the kingdom of God. Every one of you who lifted your hands, just move out right now and come to Christ. Just make that step. Take one step toward God. He will take two steps toward you. Just move out right now. Christ will come with you. Hallelujah. Keep coming. You come. God will help you. God bless this fine young man. But at least that cranked my engine up. Now, when I got to school, that was a different thing. When I was a teenager, I had one monstrous appetite. There have been times without number. I have sat down.